It sure is. All right. Lord, we just thank you for another wonderful night. Thank you for this wonderful day we had too, Father. We didn't have hardly any rain at all. And actually the sun came out for a little while this afternoon. We thank you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord, that you're going to move all this stuff out away from us. And tomorrow's going to be even prettier. And we praise you for it. Lord, we just ask for your anointing tonight for everybody here. Lord, that you would guide and lead them into what you want them to talk about and what you want them to hear. And I thank you for it, Father. I thank you, Lord, that you have melted our hearts together with the Holy Spirit, that we're in one accord, and the people that are in one accord shake the buildings they're in. And Father, we thank you for that in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that tonight is no exception. Every prayer that we pray will be answered, and we praise you for this open heaven that you have provided for us, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that every demon in here has to go in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, that tonight's going to be an awesome, awesome night because you're leading us and guiding us. In Jesus' name. Thank you for all the healings and all the deliverances, Father. In Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, for all the revelations that's going to come forth tonight as well. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for getting us ready for this awesome, awesome time ahead. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Okay. Y'all stand by. I'm fixing to share something with you. Let me get it all worked up here.
The Bible says my king is a seven-way king. He's a king of the Jews. That's a racial king. He's a king of Israel. That's a national king. He's a king of righteousness. He's a king of the ages. He's a king of heaven. He's a king of glory. He's the king of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. That's my king. Well, I wonder, do you know him? David said, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. No far-seeing telescope can bring into visibility the coastline of his shoreless supplies. No barrier can hinder him from pouring out his blessings. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He stands in the solitude of himself. He's august and he's unique. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He is the supreme problem in high criticism. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He is the cardinal necessity for spiritual religion. He's the miracle of the age. He is. He is the superlative of everything good that you choose to call him. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient Savior. I wonder if you know him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captives. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he beautifies the meek. I wonder if you know him. Well, this is my king. He is a king. He's the key to knowledge. He's the wellspring of wisdom. He's the doorway of deliverance. He's the pathway of peace. He's the roadway of righteousness. He's the highway of holiness. He's the gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, his office is manifold. His promise is sure. His life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy. And his burden is light. I wish I could describe him to you, but he's in the... He's indescribable. Yes, he is. Good God. He's indescribable. Yes, he's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. Well, you can't get him out of your mind. You can't get him off of your hand. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, the Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. The witnesses couldn't get their testimonies to agree. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him. Yeah! That's my king. That's my king. Yeah. And thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever and ever and ever. How long is that? And ever and ever. And when you get through with all of the forevers, then amen. Good God Almighty. Amen. Amen.
That's my king, glory to God. That's my king. Woo! Somebody ought to shout something tonight. Glory to God.
Amen. I'm with you.
Amen. He's indescribable. Amen. All right. I guess we'll start. Has anybody got any prayer requests? How many of you know that when we pray, God answers? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I know most of you have heard that, but it's always good to hear him again. Yeah, Missy.
I'm having like bizarre things happen with my RAV. And today something happened and it's just first thing that happened that like when I went, it was about a year ago, I went to have my alternator fixed. And when I had the alternator fixed, they did something then that my air conditioning wasn't working then. So then I went and had new tires put on a couple weeks ago. And when I had my new tires put on, the new tech scraped up my rims, and they said they would have them paid to be refinished. Okay. So I took the rim yesterday and they did it. And I went to pick it up today, and they were switching my wheels around. And when they went to put the wheel back on the front that they had just refinished, the one lug nut broke. And it's like, I'm having all these incidences where I go to have something done with my Rav, and they do something and break something or whatever, or you know what I'm saying? I'm like, what the world? And it just like, all of a sudden, the Lord caught my attention with it. And what came to me was witchcraft. And I've been asking the Lord about it. And that's what I feel like it is. But he's like, it's like, I'll ask him questions and I'll get, because I started using 5/4. Because I know if I get all heads, it's a sure thing. But anyway, I keep getting four heads and one tail, four heads and one tail, four heads and one tail on a bunch of questions that I ask. Not every one of them, but a lot of them. And it's all about basically witchcraft. So I don't know if anybody, you know, if anything comes to anybody other than that. I mean, I even asked the Lord, is there, you know, anything I need to repent of or whatever, you know, and I wasn't getting anything. And but anyway, so I just want to pray about that, you know. And this thought came to me, and I cast it down, and maybe it was a thought came to me about my tires getting worn so uneven. And I know that part of the reason why it was that it had a bad shock, and I had that fixed and I had it aligned. And this thought came to me was that it wasn't holding an alignment. That's why the tires were wearing so bad. And that it was an issue even before I bought it, you know. Anyway, so, and maybe that's the case. So I'm going to pray against it and command it in the name of Jesus to just command my Rav to hold an alignment. And whatever, if that's the case, that's been a problem, I command it to be fixed in the name of Jesus, and it hold an alignment, because I'm getting it aligned by my son this weekend, and it's going to hold an alignment, and my tires are not going to wear bad because it won't hold an alignment. And I just thank you, Lord, for doing that in the name of Jesus. And I cast down any kind of witchcraft coming at me, my Rav, or you know, any of my possessions. And I just cast down any witchcraft that's coming towards me in any respect to any of my possessions, or which they're yours, Lord, but they're not mine. But I just break any witchcraft and curses sent my way, and especially towards my Rav right now in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, that tomorrow when I take it to have that lug nut taken out that broke off, that there's not going to be any issues, that everything's going to go smoothly, that nothing's not going to get fouled up there, that everything's just going to be pie in the sky, and it's not going to cost me an arm and a leg just to have something like that done, and it's going to be a reasonable price. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. So if anybody has anything they want to add to that, go for it.
Amen. We just believe with you. We hook our faith up with yours. We believe that Rav is God's vehicle. And not only is it God's vehicle, he's taking care of it too. And we praise you for it, Father, that those tires are brand new. They're going to stay brand new, and they're never going to wear out through the wilderness even. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. That Rav is going to be a wilderness vehicle in Jesus' name, as long as Missy's got it. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
What do you got going on back there? You got a party going on upstairs?
No, Merle does.
Oh.
No, he's doing a Zoom church meeting, too.
I got you. Okay. All right. Go ahead, Pat.
Well, I'm going to join in with Missy on that prayer as well. And I'm going to take Michael's encouragement that he gave us on the last meeting regarding praise. for some reason that really hit me this time. And I've heard that message before, but it was really good. So Father, I just thank you for bringing these things into Missy's life, Lord, related to the car repairs and this car situation, and even the witchcraft situation. Father, we thank you that you have delivered us out of that kingdom of darkness, and that kingdom has no power over us, no authority over us. You've given us power to and authority to tread on serpents and scorpions, and Lord, I just thank you for the authority over those spirits as you have taken us out from under their control and their manipulating power. We thank you that you give Missy strength and encouragement in this time just to rest in your promises and to strengthen. And Father, we just thank you. We praise you for your deliverance. We praise you for the benefits that you give us to oversee, overcome even these obstacles, such as the damages to the car and various things like that. Lord, we thank you that even over the elements, you've given us authority to bind those things and to cast them down and to claim your promises. So we thank you for your promises. We thank you for your benefits. We praise you for leading us and guiding us into this truth. Lord, we just thank you for bringing us into this perfect place in Christ. And we trust you, Lord, for guiding us and continuing on, leading us into the truths. Lord, we thank you, not only the truth, but into your presence. Lord, we thank you for being present with us tonight in this meeting. We praise you, Lord, that your word says where two or three are gathered together, there you are in our midst, Lord. And we just thank you and love you, Lord. We thank you for being here in our midst. Just fill us with your Holy Spirit. Fill us with your word. And we thank you for that. We thank you for the Holy Spirit you've given to guide us into all truth. And we thank you for the truth that sets us free. That if we are free in you, we are free indeed. We thank you, Lord, that you've given us your yoke, Lord, to put our head in and walk with you and learn to walk the way you walk and take our guidance from you. And we thank you for that, for your yoke is easy. Lord, we thank you for this, even the message, the video message we heard tonight of the various unlimited ways that you are in our life. We praise you, Lord, that you are as big as we can believe you are big. And so, Lord, we just ask you to enlarge our hearts to believe big, to believe the way you are. Let us perceive you the way you really are. Strip away the bondages, the cobwebs of deception that may still linger in our lives, Lord. And we thank you and trust you for setting us free through the cross, through the blood, and through our confession of your word and your truth. We thank you that you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and all bow at your before you. Every knee shall bow. And we thank you for it, Lord. We praise you, Lord, for the work that you're doing in us. We praise you for the direction that you have taken us. You've opened our eyes to see. You've opened our ears to hear. And we just praise you. We thank you, Lord, for touching our hearts, taking that stony heart out of our flesh and replacing it with your heart of love. So we praise you, Lord. We lift up our hands and our hearts, and we trust you and put our faith and confidence in your life within us, your life for us and through us. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Marilyn.
I want to pray for a lady that, well, it's for her son. There's a lady that lives in our community. She's a Christian. She's a strong Christian. She's 89 years old, and she used to work with me at the food bank. And she doesn't have internet, and she doesn't have a computer, but I gave her a number of the UBM books, and she just devoured them, and she was always in agreement with everything that she read, and she's just been a blessing to me. And anyway, she's been widowed twice. She's by herself, and she only has one son. And he was just diagnosed with stage 4 colon cancer. And he is a believer. And I don't know his name, but I know he's a believer. I know he was raised loving the Lord. And so this happened very quickly. He was just had some issues there for a few weeks, thought he had a hernia problem, and went in and they pronounced this curse over him. So Father, you know all about Marion, and you know all about her son. And Father, I know that Marion has faith, and that's what she's telling people is, I have faith in the Lord. I have faith for the Lord to heal my son. And so, Lord, we're hooking our faith up with Marion. I command all the spirit of cancer out of her son, the fear of cancer to go in the authority of the mighty name of Jesus. All these lying symptoms have to go in the authority of the mighty name of Jesus. I break the power of the curse that was spoken over her son. In the authority of the mighty name of Jesus, that curse is broken. I thank you and praise you that he's just healed. He is just, he's not going to deteriorate. He is just going to, people are going to be amazed that instead of getting worse, he's just getting better. And Lord, I just thank you and praise you. Father, your word says you bless those that bless us. Marion's been a blessing to me, and she's been a blessing to many people. And I pray blessings on my beloved sister. I pray blessings on her son and his family. And I thank you, Lord, that they love you and they believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And they have hearts to believe the truth. So, Father, I just thank you and praise you for what you're doing here. I'm come against any witchcraft coming against this man in the authority of the mighty name of Jesus. I command the angels to just drive all this evil, all this sickness, all this infirmity, the power of these curses, they are null and void. And I command the angels to drive this darkness out of him and away from him in the authority of the mighty name of Jesus, that the anointing of the Lord, the healing virtue from the throne of grace flow to him even right at this moment, and he is healed. He's able to eat. He's got strength. He has no pain because Jesus healed him, and he's going to be a great testimony. Father, that Jesus is glorified in a mighty way. And Father, I thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. We believe with Marilyn. In the name of Jesus right now, I command every cell, every organ, every muscle, every bone in his body to be healed right now in Jesus' name. And like Marilyn said, he's going to be a walking testimony. He's going to walk out of that hospital, that hospital, and it's going to, the doctors are going to be scratching their head and wondering what went wrong. He's going to tell them, glory to God, my God healed me. You didn't do nothing but throw curses at me, and I'm walking out of here because my God is good. And we praise you, Father, for that in Jesus' name, for this man. Thank you, Lord. He's healed. Amen. All right. I believe it. Anybody else believe that? Amen. I believe it. Thank you, Father. All right. Anybody else? Hey, Tracy. Anybody else got a prayer request or a praise report? Okay. I want to pray. Can I pray? I'll be going to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for bringing this jubilee upon your people. And I thank you, Lord, for bringing down the deep state. I thank you, Lord, for bringing down the evil, corrupt governments all over this world that have murdered children. And Father, we just thank you for doing that in a mighty way. We see it going on, Lord, and it's doing, you're doing a mighty work, and we thank you for it, Father. And we ask and we pray that your angels be loose around about the men that are doing this. And we praise you, Father, for doing that. And Lord, we thank you for all of these children that are being saved from this horrible, horrible existence that they've had. And we just praise you, Father, for wiping their minds clean of the filthy, evil, corrupt ways that they've seen. And we thank you for it, Father, that they're going to be, every one of them that needs to be adopted will be adopted by full gospel Christian people. And we praise you, Father, for it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else? Well, I'm sure I'm glad that you got decent, son. Talking about Lana's boy there. Hey, buddy. I see you. Hi, Claire. Snuck up on you in here. I'm telling you the truth. You missed some good stuff here early. Oh, y'all did. They come in late. Go ahead, Mariana.
I guess I just wanted to give a praise report. I have a lot of work to do when Isaac's gone. So unfortunately, I have to do it. So I was thinking, you know, today's raining, so I don't have to go do what I needed to do today. I asked the Lord, I'm like, Lord, if you want me to go do this, please hold the rain off. So the Lord held the rain off. So I went and got what I had to get. And then it rained all the way back. And then when I got home, I'm like, well, I have to unload the truck. I asked Isaac, can I keep the stuff in the truck, in the bed of the truck? And he's like, no. I was like, Lord, if you want me to unload it, you have to stop the rain. And he did. The Lord stopped the rain. And not only that, but in the front of the truck, it was raining. Behind the truck, and it was raining. When I was in the bed pitching the stuff over, there was no rain. Seriously, Lord held it just in that spot for where I was working. And so I just wanted to give the Lord credit and glory on that. So
God is so good. My gracious. Wished we'd have had a video of that. That would have been awesome. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody else? Amen. Greg? Yeah. All right. Hey, buddy. Anybody else got anything I'd like to share before we go ahead, Lana?
Sorry, I was trying to get Theo to turn his train off. I just have a praise report.
Mama in the kingdom.
I'll come back.
The trials and tribulations of a normal housewife. Praise God. Go ahead, Isaac.
Oh, hey, everybody. I'm just going to tag along. I've been meaning to say something for a while and I haven't done it. But tag along from Mariana. The Lord's, he's really been giving us authority over the weather here lately. In these last, I don't know, Mariana, maybe month and a half or so. And I remember one day I just got back from traveling, but where I was at was raining a whole bunch. And I got home, and it was like a blanket of clouds. I couldn't even see the sky. And well, I just felt led to say, it's going to, you know, I thank you, Father, that you've given us sunshine over the house. And, you know, there's been a lot of occasions that this happened. Well, we got home, and as that day kept on going, it was a little cloudy. And I remember, we went out to get a bite to eat. I can't really remember. But we were driving back, and I said, I thank you, Father, that it is sunshining. And I'm telling you, man, this is, Marina will tell you, you know, this is just a blessing. Is I think that we God's given all of us here this authority. But man, the sun was only shining in our house. Only in our house. And pretty much everything around the left and the right was both cloudy. And it stayed that way the whole entire day. And I've been meaning to say something. You know, I probably should have. But you know, I just want to thank the Lord. Mariana's right about that. And I don't know, man, God's awesome. And it really does work just like that.
He sure does. He works just like it. Lana, did you get him in the closet? Go ahead.
Yes, I did. Sorry.
It's all right.
I just wanted to share a testimony of something that happened to Fio and I this past weekend. So Fio's brother asked him to stop and take a look at a pressure washer that he was looking to buy on Marketplace while we were in the city. And so when Fio found out that we were purchasing, or we were going to be dealing with a Arabian man, we started remembering our last experience with when a group of Arabian men came over to Fio's parents' house and tried to purchase a car he had listed on Craigslist. And it was really, really unpleasant. These guys tried to rip Fio off in every direction. They wouldn't let off. It was a group of young men. And just ever since then, Fio just had a really bad taste in his mouth every time the seller, you know, for anything used like that, like Marketplace or Craigslist, would be of that nationality. And so as we were driving, the Lord put it on my heart to turn the conversation. I said, let's not confess the bad report. Let's just pray that this would go differently. And so we asked the Lord to put it on the man's heart to be kind and nice, and that he wouldn't try to haggle the price or, you know, deceive us in any manner. And the Lord was good. He was very, turns out this man was very gracious, very kind, very polite. Fio was completely blown away. He's very professional, probably more so than many that you meet out there from Craigslist or Marketplace who are looking to sell something. So that was just a confirmation of confessing the good report versus the bad report. So praise the Lord for that. The sale went great. The product, the pressure washer turned out to be exactly what they wanted, and they're quite happy with it. So praise God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for prayer, answers to prayer. You can even make the worst turn out good.
And now they've escaped outdoors. So off I go.
Okay. Oh, boy. She needs a taser. Go, Claire.
I have a praise report. On Wednesday, I took the kids up to gymnastics, which is just like, well, anyway, we take them up to gymnastics on Wednesday. And it's a mixed bag of people. Most are, well, you wouldn't know. You wouldn't know if people are Christian because people don't like to confess and that sort of stuff. So you really have to be quite ingenious, really, in getting the conversation to go anywhere around that circle. It's very fascinating for me, all these different cultures and so forth. But anyway, before we were left on Wednesday, we did like serious warfare here in the house. And I like just told my kids, just hang on, we're just going to have to pray this. Because I'm a bit tired of pussyfooting around now, you know, like, I mean, how many days do we have left? So anyway, I just rebuked all these spirits. There's some people who are like actively, like, it's funny how they're always the ones that are so outward, but that are actively sort of new age and actively atheist and that sort of stuff. So you can hear it and you can see it and the fruit is there. And so I just rebuked all of it and I bound those spirits in the name of Jesus. And I said, I'm not going to go in there today into that space and be ruled by these things. Like I have got Christ in me and he will reign there. Well, it was like one confession and testimony after the next, the whole of those 2 hours that I was there, I didn't. And it wasn't like it was the Claire show. That's not what I mean. I just mean like the Lord just opened opportunities to speak to people about faith. Like these mummies I've seen now for 4 months, you get to say hello. They're busy with their little ones, you know, so it's not like you can actually have these deep and meaningfuls. But one mom in specific, she's from Canada. Who knew? Because she never speaks. And she's from Canada and she's been living here for 10 years and she's so lonely. And then I told her about how we came to the island. And she had tears in her eyes and she's like, I want that living faith. So if we can just please pray for her. Her name's Jess. I'll pray. And if you can agree, thank you, Lord, for the blessing of getting an opportunity to talk to Jess on Wednesday. Father, she came to Australia. You know her story, Lord, and she wanted to be a missionary and she got married. And now her mission field is in her home, like most of us. And Father, she has got such a yearning in her heart for you. And we know that you are working a mighty work in her husband's heart. And we know that, Lord, whatever we ask, we can ask. And we know that if the faith is there, Lord, that you are so gracious and merciful to give us what we ask for. We just have to believe that you do. And so, Lord, I'm praying today that you're going to give Jess an amazing outpouring of faith because she has asked for it, Lord. And I know that you are going to do a mighty work in her life and let that faith come alive more and more each day, and that her heart will turn to explosions of joy, Lord, in your mighty name and in your son's mighty name, because that is where our hope and our joy and our victory comes from. Thank you, Lord, for Jess and for all the other mummies that I could speak to on Wednesday. And those other people were not even there. Like the vessels weren't even there to bring the spirits in on Wednesday. It was amazing. So thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah, we lift up just to you, Lord, and let this be the beginning of a great relationship with Claire and her and you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen. Okay, Isaac, go ahead, brother.
Hey, sorry. I meant to mention something that happened to me. Can't remember if it was Sunday or Monday. Anyways, so I was driving up to Detroit. So I got a notification on my phone. So I was driving on the interstate, went to grab my phone. Now the Lord has kind of convicted me of doing that. I'm not saying nobody else can't. I'm just talking about me here. And I was like, well, I mean, I answer the phone, I do all that. But it's more like a text. And I picked up my phone and I'm probably gonna text, to be honest with you. I won't even lie to you. And man, I felt the Lord tell me, don't do that. And I was like, well, is that just me? Anyways, and man, I got another notification, like right after I was thinking that, And it was like, I feel like in my heart, it was a, the Lord was telling me, be careful. Now, it was just kind of more of a feeling rather than, I don't know how to explain it. Anyways, so man, right in front of me, there was a truck. Mind you, we're in the interstate, but with a trailer. And the tire blew right there. The tire on the trailer just blew out. And rubber started going down the road. And people kind of, you know, going around. We were about 75 miles per hour. And you know what? That was more. It was awesome to me because the Lord would even was showing me that. But it was also convicting at the same time. But it was still just amazing because he just showed me that, or he just put that feeling in my heart, I don't know, 15 seconds before it all happened. And it went down just like that. Rubber started going all over the road. You know, when those tires blow, they start to shred. And it was something. And then I just said, okay, I know. I won't do that again. But that's just pretty cool, man. You know, God is an awesome God.
Yes, I'm not going to tell you the story that happened to me the other day about running somebody off the road because I was texting. I ain't telling that story. Lord convicted me of that, so I could put it down myself. But it was, I meant to go hunt them up. They live somewhere around here in this neighborhood, but I could never find them. Anyway, thank you for that, Isaac. All right, anyone else? All right. No one else. Okay. All right. What y'all want to talk about? Go ahead, Joe.
Can I ask a question? Maybe it's a short answer for you. What's the difference between a mark and a forehead, a seal and a forehead, and the name on a forehead?
What's the difference in a mark, a seal, and a name?
On the forehead, yeah.
On the forehead. All right. We can, since that's going to be part of it, we can do that. What do you think it is? I'm going to throw it right back at you, buddy. That's why you asked the question, huh?
I'm not sure about the seal, but the name is how you think about the Lord, I think, in... But mark is what already you got on you, on the way you live and speak. I'm not sure about the seal. Well, it's a short answer, but it's speaking.
Okay. All right. That's good. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, Julie.
I would say, you know, the name is, as we've been taught, is, you know, the nature, character, and authority of the Lord. And that's how, you know, that transition from what we were, old sinful, carnal ways of thinking and doing things, and our nature being transformed by his Spirit. And yeah, the mark is what Joe said, I believe, is just, you know, the mark of, you know, the spiritual, you know, marking of, how we think and how we act and all of that. And I would say the seal is like, we're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, the Holy Spirit of truth. We're sealed with his life's blood. I mean, it's the Passover. You know, I just think the seal is a guarantee. The Holy Spirit's been given us to us as a guarantee, as long as we continue to walk in the faith of the gospel. And continue to abide in him. So that's, I guess, what I would ask or would say.
Okay. All right, Angelica, come on over here. Tell what you got, what you put down there. That'd be fine. Come on.
Oh gosh, I wasn't planning on saying anything today, but really quickly, what comes to my mind is the name on the forehead. Obviously, it just represents the mind of Christ. You know, the forehead represents the mind. And so it's either mind of Christ or mind of the beast. And the, you know, the mark is both physical and spiritual. So, the seal is the final division between the two men and the earth. You know, it's your seal of approval, you know, I think. I mean, when I read Revelation, yeah. You know, he's talking about the seals on the forehead. Don't hurt them that have the seals. It's those that are have been approved of God and are, you know, are ultimately going to be with the Lord, and the other and the rest won't.
Amen. All right. That's good. Anybody else want to add to it? Come on now. Where are you men at? All right, Sunil, go ahead.
Well, the mark is an engraving, and it is meant for cattle or beast, but the seal is a crest or a, what would you call it? Yeah, standard, right? And that's meant for things of honor, which also has the as the mark of it's a seal of the ownership, and mark okay. also is the ownership, but one is for cattle or beasts, and the other is for the things at the table.
Okay. All right. Anybody else? All right. What about it, Andrew? I'm gonna call on you and Dave both. Patrick. David. Come on, y'all.
I'm drawing a blank, like everything's been said that I would have said.
Like, okay.
I'm more interested in this seal thing. Like, I need a bit more convincing on what the seal is. I just remember the quote, the seal of the living God, and some of the saints had the seal of the living God upon them. And the mark is definitely how you think and what you're doing with physically with your hands or whatever. And your actions and of course the name is part of your nature, character, and authority, and your mind, your will, your emotions. So I want to be more settled about this seal thing, you know, like exactly what it means.
Okay. All right. Go ahead, Damon.
I would look more at the seal as being more of the legal agreement. It's binding, because that's something that's at that point, it's what was determined and it's not going to be changed. It's kind of like the seals in the book of Revelation when they're broken. You know, it's something that was binding and it's already ordained that way and it's not going to change. So that's what, it's not changeable at that point. A mark is like, I think Andrew hit it pretty good. It's the direction. It's the direction that person, we'll look at it as a person, that person took. So that's the mark they have now. Now that direction could be changed, but there is a point in the book of Revelation where the mark is not changeable. And that's when they worship and take on the image in the right hand of the forehead, or the mark on the right hand of the forehead. The combination of the two seals that fate. But the mark is actually the direction of the person. And so it's a indication, I would say, more of an indicator. But it's still, even right now, people with a spiritual mark can be changed before it's too late. Once that seal is in place, it's over. That's the judgment. It's going to be God's. This is it. It's legal and binding. We already kind of covered the name pretty good, but the name again would be something that's going to be transpired by either what the mark is doing in your life. You either got the mark of God or the mark of the beast, and then the seal is going to finalize it with that final name. But that again is going to be as far as we're looking at with a name of coming into the name of the Lord, that's only going to be as much as you're running after the Lord, as how much of that's going to manifest in you. Again, we're looking at glory levels, 30, 60, and 100 fold. So you might have the name of the Lord, nature, character, and authority, but how much of that is in you? How much of that are you manifesting? So that's kind of like, that's where we need to focus most of our attention on, is trying to manifest as much of that name in us as we can, and as much as God as we can, you know, that abiding and transforming. So that's all I'll say on that.
All right. Yeah. Go ahead, Pat.
I think the thing was coming to me, it was kind of the seal. Kind of a general sense of what a seal is, like if you have an envelope, you put a letter in it and you seal it, that the concept is not so much looking at the seal as it is the contents, which is behind it. The seal just represents a barrier, or it represents it being safeguarded until it's ready to be unsealed. And that's, you know, along with the seals of Revelation, when he opened the second seal, the third seal, and what was behind those seals was the significant part, or the thing that he was, that we were need to put our attention on. Was looking at the seal of the forehead. Revelation. It will be a revolution. Revelation 9, and it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God on their foreheads. And I guess I'm thinking more in terms of how that relates. I'm not quite clear. I'm kind of like Andrew. I'm not real clear as to what the difference would be, a mark or the seal. But the seal definitely has something to do with protecting the contents, which I'm assuming would be Christ in us. Those that have the seal of God on their forehead have God's supernatural protection or seal to protect the contents behind that seal. So, interesting thing in Revelation 10, said when John heard the seven thunders under their voice, then God told him to not to write about it. But he heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered and write them not. So there was something there that God wanted to protect that he wasn't going to unleash or bring forth on the world yet. He told John to seal that information up and not write them down. So those, I guess I just had kind of general thoughts about what a seal is. Cast the devil in the bottomless pit, shut him up and set a seal on him. So it can either be righteous contents or unrighteous contents, but it sets that establishes that point that whatever the contents are, they are sealed and not able to be touched, or they're protected, or they're preserved until the time he who wants to unseal them does so. So that's kind of the only thing I have.
Okay, go ahead, Adam.
Oh, I was just looking at the mark versus seal. You know, take what you want out of it on the concordance. If you look at mark in the Greek, it's a karagma. And it says here, the same as a number, whatever, it says a scratch or etching that is a stamp, as a badge of servitude or sculptured figure, a statue. You know, seems like idolatry. And then if you look at a seal, that's what I was looking at. I was like, well, that is a good question. What is that? Anyways, so it says here, and kind of like Pat was saying, and I don't know how to pronounce this. Frizo. Let's go with that. It says, and this is seal, to stamp with a signet or private mark for security or preservation, literally or figuratively, by implication to keep secret, to attest. Now, there is one more because it derives from this also, which is almost the same word. And it's almost pronounced the same way. Fragis. Okay. Let's go with that also. So it says, a signet as fencing in or protecting from misappropriation, by implication, the stamp impressed as a mark of privacy or genuineness. So I don't know what that tells you, but, you know, it's worth at least thinking about. That's all.
Okay. Anybody else?
Michael?
Yes.
I was thinking of how when a woman gets married, you know, she takes on the name of the husband. I mean, I know it, all the other things are just they're basically what that is. But I was just thinking of, you know, in the realm of the natural, the woman, when she gets married to the man, she takes his name and she becomes part of his family. But the proof of that is like the seal. They have a document with the official marriage certificate, per se. You know, that's what made me think of the seal. You know, I mean, I know it's more than that, but it wasn't brought up, and I just was wondering if that would fit.
That's a good point, and we can go a little bit further with that. Does anybody understand what she's talking about? Okay, now apply it to Christ.
That's what I'm saying. We're married to Christ. We're to be married to him. When we received him, it was like a promise for us to be married to him. And I think when the Holy Spirit comes into us, it's like that certificate, you know, that marriage certificate. There's proof that we belong to him, that we're his bride, maybe, in his, so to speak, promise, the promise of being his bride. You know,
okay.
That's what I was thinking of. That's
all right. Thank you. But let's go a little further with it. Now, she was talking about married to Christ. When you're married, you take on the same image, don't you? You take on the mind of Christ. You take on his every attribute. And that has sealed you as one in him. And when you are of the beast, you are sealed as one with the beast. You're sealed. That's it. You're there. If in Christ the same way. Can y'all see what I'm talking about? Okay. And that's a spiritual as far as a mark too. Mark and seal almost are the same thing in my estimation. Yeah, Pat.
So taking at that step, so we know what the name, taking the name of Christ and the seal, being sealed by the Holy Spirit in relationship with him, what is the mark, taking it in comparison to, say, the marriage? What would be the mark? Would
that be? It's your walk, I would imagine. Do you look like Christ? When a man and a woman come together in marriage, they are one in marriage, right? Okay. When you come in, they've sealed. God seals that. He's told us that in his word. Same thing within Christ. You're sealed with Christ as long as you do the things that he's asked us to do, you know. And the mark is what you see, isn't it? Spiritually and physically. I'm being a little bit.
Works. Would that be the works?
That's the proof. Just like Angelica said down there. It's the proof. It's your walk. It's the faith without works, or with works, I should say, the work of Christ. I'm trying to give y'all something here to go ahead and take and run with it. All right, anybody else? Look at all the verses. There's not very many of them about the seal, and it talks about in Christ. It's always in Christ. It's always around being in Christ. Paul talks about it. Yeah, Andrew, go ahead.
Okay, let's say I take Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. How would that apply to the seal? Is anyone here can give me one of those words in that phrase, or is there a word in that verse that can compare that to this seal in Ephesians 2:10? And if not, you can go as far back as 2:8 if you want to. 2:8, 9, and 10. Okay. So here we have grace, for by grace have you been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift from God, not by works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, upon good works which God afore hath ordained that we should walk in them. So because, you know, I looked up the first place seal is mentioned in the, and it's in 1 Kings 21:8. And, oh, it's talking about Ahab wanting, Naboth's vineyard that's close to the palace. And verse 8 is, I was just trying to listen to you guys and trying to read this at the same time, but it's just too hard for me to do. And because sometimes this is, I'm referring to the law of first mention. So it says here, and Jezebel, his wife, came to him and said unto him, why is thy spirit so sad that thou eatest no bread? And he said to her, because I spake to Naboth the Jezreelite and said unto him, give me thy vineyard for money, or else if it please thee, I will give thee another vineyard for it. And he answered, I will not give thee my vineyard. And Jezebel, his wife, said unto him, dost thou not govern the kingdom of Israel? Arise and eat bread, and let thine heart be merry. I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. So she wrote letters in Ahab's name and sealed them with his seal and sent the letters unto the elders and the nobles that were in his city dwelling with Naboth. And she wrote in the letters saying, proclaim a fast and set Naboth on high among the people. Well, I'm not familiar with the story, so I don't know how far I have to read. I don't want to continue reading so much that it take up all the time here.
What are you trying to get at, Andrew?
Well, I'm just trying to figure out, like, she used the king's seal to seal these letters to send them. And I was just trying to figure out, you know, how this law first mentioned might work with this. But it doesn't seem to click for me yet. So for me, it's very similar to the mark. I would say that you're sealed in it. Your fate is set when you're sealed. You know, the mark can also be sealed, but one can repent, you know, from the Lord, because we know the Lord has goodness for us, and we know the Lord has forbearance towards us and long suffering, and we know the Lord is good, so that we would respect his goodness, so that we could be led into repentance, basically. So the mark of the forehead, you can repent of through the Lord, of course. Everything is of the Lord. But if you do not repent of the mark in the forehead, your actions of the future will mimic that forehead thinking to make it an action. And once you take that action, it's a seal for life. That's how I see them. That's the only proper definition I can think of. Because we don't want our thinking with the glory of man, but with the glory of God. You know, and well, yeah.
Amen.
that's what I'm going to be using anyway, because I never really thought of this sealed thing, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Praise God.
I mean, got some good stuff going on in the chat there. Y'all need to voice it. Go ahead, Greg.
excuse me. My bandwidth is a bit weird today, so if I'm not coming through, give me a sign.
Fine.
or a seal or a mark or something like that. No, actually, I was looking at it myself, and look, the first mention of seal in English is in that 1 Kings, or was it 2 Kings? I did look it up. But I was looking at it a bit deeper. In Hebrew, the first mention is actually in Genesis 38:18. And this is the part where, and I think this is significant, at least in two parts, if not three, about what we're talking about. It's where Tamar, who was the wife to Judah's eldest son, who wasn't a good guy and the Lord gave him the flick, and then she became the wife of his second son, who wasn't too happy to conceive a child by her. And so he got the flick, and then she was told to go and live as a widow in her father's house till his third son was grown up. Third son grew up, nothing happened. And she went and took off her widow's garb, put on a prostitute's garb, and went and sat in the path. It's actually, she sat in an opening or a gate, as it turns out. It's a whole lot in there. But and because Judah comes along and thinks, oh yeah, I might have a liaison with this prostitute. And anyway, he offers as a consideration a young goat, which he doesn't have with him. And so she asks for a pledge, and that pledge is three things. There was a signet or a seal. It's the same word as the one in regarding Jezebel pinching Ahab's authority. Thy bracelets, or in some translations as a cord, and that seems to what it be in Hebrew, some sort of string thing, and thy staff. And anyway, the story does go on that, you know, he goes away, does his business, comes back, you know, sends his mate there to pay the goat. She's not there, and he goes, well, let's just forget the whole thing, you know. And then, of course, his daughter-in-law rolls up pregnant, and he's going to basically, you know, burn her. And she says, well, hang on a sec, I'm pregnant by the guy who owns all these things, which was basically all his authority, all his, she had everything in his hand, because he realized that she had been more righteous than he. But just going back to the signet, the bracelet, and the stuff, I tend to think this is, as I say, the bracelet or the cord, I can't pin down, but the staff would be like the name, the authority, you know. And Claire was mentioning a little bit of this, where we get the name of Christ. Or, you know, a spouse or a wife gets the name of the husband and gets to use it respectfully. I don't think Jezebel actually was doing the right thing in taking the kingly authority. the seal, well, that's, you know, that's exactly what Jezebel pinched, the signet. So it's like in our days it would be the signature, but the cord part, and I assume that applies to one of those. But anyway, that's in scripture in Hebrew. That's the first mention of all these three things: the staff. It's not, you know, and of course we know of Aaron's rod, and you know that Moses wielded, etc. The seal, we're sealed with the Holy Spirit. You know, it's like that impression that someone would make with either, they used to make it with, you know, and then that was not that long ago that people made impressions with a ring or some sort of metal stamp into wax. sorry, my train of thought just went out the window there. But this cord thing, I'm not sure how it relates. I was just saying we're sealed with the Holy Spirit. That impression has been put in on us. I don't know. I see things in scripture. I can't quite explain them. So my mouth's sort of fumbling here now, but anyway, that's about me, but I just, it's fascinating. This is fascinating, the stuff.
Yeah, it is. It's good.
Yeah. You may be very right there, Dave. I know the cord also, there was the scarlet cord. Well, okay, it was salvation to Rahab. And it was also a thing that changed color in the Jewish temple, which stopped when Jesus' sacrifice was made.
Amen. Is that it, Greg?
That's it from me.
Okay. All right, Claire, go ahead from Tasmania.
I just want to
Tasmania.
It's lovely today. We've got some sun. It's just wonderful.
Okay.
So I just want to make sure that I'm on the right track because I feel like maybe I'm not. The name is the nature, character, and authority. That's what name means in Hebrew, right? So when we get the name, we get a change of nature, a change of character. Character is the mark, and your character comes through in your actions, right? So in like the things that you do, and the authority, but the seal is also giving you authority, as Rian gives me authority, as Jesus gives his bride authority to walk as he walked, because we are of one mind. So if we had to draw a little diagram, would we put name as the main bubble, and then we'd have charagma as one of those little offshoots, and then we'd have seal as one of those little offshoots, but the big one is name, because that's nature, character, and authority. Where the other two, if we look at seal and we look at mark, they form part of the name. So actually you can't have the character, you can't have the character or the mark, and you can't have the seal if you don't have the name. Or am I somewhere else?
Well, I think you're right, partially, all the way. But let's just keep going and see what else other people got. I think you're on the right track. I think everything you said, I'm with Greg. It's all a package deal. If you have the seal, you're part of Christ. You have the mind of Christ. If you have the name, you have all of Christ. If you have the mark, You're sealed. Okay. Yeah, somebody had their hand up. Who was that? Go ahead, Pat. He's going to clarify it for us.
I was just thinking when Claire said the nature, character, and authority would be the contents within us. And then the seal would be something having to do with the Father putting if we're sealed by the Holy Spirit, he's sealing the contents of Christ within us. He's sealing it. I'm thinking of it's a seal of God's authority, in that we have been translated completely out of that kingdom of darkness, and Christ's life being placed within us, and then God setting a seal over that so that it cannot be removed, taken, opened, destroyed, etc., unless the hand of the Father opens up and releases that seal. So I'm thinking it's the character, nature, and authority is the contents which is sealed by God. How that whole thing, how that fits into the picture, I don't know.
I forgot to unmute again. Go ahead, Julie.
Thank you. I shared this once before when Laura was making it known to me. I don't know if I shared it with everybody or not, but I think it's worth repeating. Where I used to work, we had, I was an administrative assistant, and I was given, you know, permissions by the partners that I supported and other people that I could use their electronic signature on documents, but I couldn't really just do it unless I knew that they had read and approved what they had read so I could sign it. I couldn't just sign something unless I saw it that, you know, okay, did you see this? Did you, you know, like I'd be signing for them on their behalf. So I'm not just going to sign it because someone else said, go ahead and sign it for them. I have to make sure it was like, okay, you know, I have your okay. It's like, you've read this, you've approved it. And cause I'm not getting in trouble. You know, I'm not going to sign anything unless you tell me it's okay. And I was, you know, there's a lot of legalism and there's a lot of true, you know, law about it. You know, I could have lost my job or gotten in serious, you know, trouble by doing that. But the Lord made me to know one night when I was resting and laying down, and he just spoke to me. He just said, you have authority to use my name. Like, you don't need to ask me every time. It was just like, you have my authority to use my name. And it was just like just connecting the dots for me, you know, and a lot of things that it's like, he trusts us with what the Lord was saying. It's like, I trust you with my word. I trust you with my name. I love you. I know that you know what you're going to do and you're not going to abuse it. You're not going to do something with my name and the authority I've given you to do something you shouldn't, you know, because he knows me, you know, and he just wanted to just make that thing. It's like, you have my authority to use my name. So don't worry about it. Just go, go do it. And now that this kind of helped me. I hope it helps somebody else.
That's good. All right. Anyone else? What's going on in the chat? There was some good stuff there a while ago. Let's see here. All right, David Nelson, come on over here. Tell us what you're talking about.
I'm not sure where we're at, I guess. I was just commenting on what Greg put up. I thought that was really good. That was a good parable of Jesus and the promises we got through that. When, what was her name?
You're talking about that Genesis verse?
Tamar. Yep, Tamar. Tamar and Judah.
Yeah.
And I was like, whoa, that was really good. Well, it was telling us what Jesus, when Jesus was going to come, he says, I will send you a young goat. He hadn't been sent yet. Jesus hadn't been sent yet. That was the offering for our, you know, the for everything we got to come into the kingdom. And but then she still asked for a pledge, and he still gave her the seal, the cord, and staff. Which was, I thought that was awesome, because that seal is the seal. That's the promise that she's going to get. It's a sealed promise. The cord, we kind of surmised it maybe to be eternal life and salvation, because there's a couple places it talks about a cord in accord with a Rahab that has had that violet cord that hung out of her window. You know, that was a seal for her. And before, so that her household, anybody in her household wasn't hurt when they when the walls fell down from Jericho and they came up and conquered the city. Then the staff, I guess the staff represents, of course, the nature, character, and authority of the Lord. And it's because, and that's what part of what Israel's name is, you know, they will rule as God. So that's the promise of being in the kingdom of God and walking with God. And you have God in you, the hope of glory, and Jesus in you, and you're walking in the image of Jesus Christ, is you have that staff of authority to act in his stead while for him, even though he's not physically here, he's spiritually with us and in us, and we're acting in his stead, and we have that nature, character, and authority to act in his behalf for him. So I thought that was kind of cool. That's all represented there. So that's all I thought. And I was just commenting on Angelica as we were talking about. She brought up Paul being whipped, and he says he bore the images of Jesus, basically the sign of his, what was that? Of his, bear the marks of the body of the Lord Jesus. In other words, he continued the crucifixion and the beatings of Jesus. So he bore the marks of Christ. You know, I guess that was also like a represents his sufferings that he went through on behalf of Christ. So it was not just, he didn't just get the beating. It was also represents Jesus Christ continued to get that suffering while he was here on the earth through Paul. So anyways, just commenting on those things.
Amen. That's good. Go ahead, Graham.
Just a couple of things came to mind. One regarding the name part. Look, we have a vestige of this in our culture, which comes with marriage when there's a name exchange, and sometimes or in adoption as well. But Abraham and Sarai had a name. Well, we call it a name change, but it was a name exchange where Abraham got that Ha in his name, and so did Sarai, which is some commentators say that, you know, that's God's name going on them. That he was the Hashem, which means basically the name going on them. A similar thing not happened with Joseph, you might recall, and with Pharaoh when he interpreted the dreams, and Joseph became something like Zephaniah, which. It took someone some research, but that seems to be part of Pharaoh's name, or that Pharaoh's name going on Joseph, because bearing in mind that Pharaoh, you know, he handed over his seal as well to Joseph. So going into what was called a name covenant with them, it seems that Pharaoh quite possibly was actually a Canaanite. It could be because a different dynasty took over later, which didn't know Joseph, which was well after Joseph's death. Won't go into all that, but you know, that swapping of names or that interchange of names seems to be a very common thing. I'm trying to think who else. It seems that Saul/Paul had the same thing happen when he was speaking to Sergius Paulus, and it was Barnabas and Saul, and thereafter in Scripture becomes Paul and Barnabas, or Paul and whoever else he was with. But then there's some historical stone that's been found, because the next place they went to was, I think it was Antioch, where Sergius Paulus' family had an estate. And it seems he went there and Paul, previously Paul, got to carry the name and got the favor of the family. Anyway, I'm just trying to explain that name thing, but the seal as well, as I said, with Joseph, Pharaoh takes his signet ring off and gives it to Joseph. In Esther, Haman got the seal from very hard to pronounce. Was it Asterus? And later on, when Haman got put up on a stick, Mordecai got the seal, and then could basically do, you know, like Julie could as for her bosses, do what, you know, speak and seal and documents everything as if he was the king. And I think there's an overlap. I was listening to Chuck Missler talking about the book of Ruth, and, you know, in the third chapter of Ruth, Ruth, you know, in the whole threshing floor situation, says, spread your garment over me. Well, he was saying that on the hem of their garment, again, hems comes up in scripture quite a bit, you know, someone like Boaz would have had an embroidery on there, you know, family name, all that sort of stuff, and sometimes they would press that into like a clay tablet to put their seal on it as well. So there's I don't know, there's a whole lot in scripture that paints a picture of this, which I find really hard to define and distill down into dot points, because I don't think God wrote it that way either. But anyway, a couple bit more food for thought there, I suppose.
Amen. Yeah, that's good. All right. Anybody else on the mark, the seal, and the name? All right. Pat?
Question. This would be a question for Joe. Does any of that gel? Since you raised the original question, what are your thoughts about that? You have to unmute, Joe.
Yeah, Joe, most people have to unmute before we can hear.
What my thinking was on a seal is in Revelation 9:4, talk about the seal of God. I wasn't sure if that the same as in Ephesians 1:13, but that sealed with the Holy Spirit, if that's the same seal. If that is the same seal, then in Ephesians 1:13, there's quite a lot of stuff there, faithful in Christ, blessed with every blessing, having foreordained, freely bestowed on us. That's all part of a seal of the Holy Spirit, but I wasn't sure about the seal of the Holy Spirit and then seal on God on a forehead. So if that's the same seal we're talking about.
Where in Ephesians, Joe, if I can ask? I'm just looking at it now.
1:13. We're talking about the seal of the Holy Spirit.
Okay. Sorry, I'm just checking the Greek words, and it's not the same. It's not the same Greek word, but let me just dig into it.
All right. So what have we concluded with all of this? Yeah, Julie.
Isn't what was coming to me, you said Revelation 9:4, Joe?
Yes.
Okay, so Revelation 9:4 is like he was talking about, and it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those which have not the seal of God on their foreheads. And I'm looking at that seal, and it's just kind of talking about a signet or like a stamp, like an impress, like a mark, literally or figuratively a seal. And to me, that's just like, you know, we're being sealed and protected by by you know, the covenant promises with God, you know, because we're walking in faith and, you know, we're known of God, we're his chosen, we're sealed with the Holy Spirit, and, you know, we're set apart, we're sealed and guarded and protected, all those things I think everyone was talking about. I think that's how I interpret that signet, like you're, you know, we've a signet, like the authority, we've you know, it's authority. This is negative. They're not sealed. These people are not sealed yet. So don't do anything yet until everyone is sealed. Because I think that just means at that point in time when you're saying that this, not everyone is sealed yet. They should not hurt the grass. You know, don't hurt any green thing. Don't do anything yet until the seal of God is in their forehead. And it's in their forehead. So to me, it's like their mind being renewed yet, or because it's the mind of Christ and that authority of Christ and knowing who you are in Christ. They're not there yet. Maybe that's just what was coming to me when I was reading that.
All right, go ahead, Angelica.
I think for me, I mean, I just the way my mind understands that is, I mean, I think the seal is like what you know, just think in the natural terms, you know, when a product has been packaged, they put a seal, a mark of approval, right? Like it's this, we stand by our product kind of thing, you know. I think it's in my mind, you know, just like the mark of the beast, right? And, you know, they're sealed on their foreheads and their hands. They take a mark, and it's done for them. They're done. So, because we're, you know, in the Lord, we can all, obviously we can, you know, continue on with the Lord, or we can fall away with the Lord. We have to continue to the end. So I think in my mind, when I read that, I feel like it's saying, you know, they've come to the end of their race, and God is approving them, and they're receiving the seal on their foreheads for preservation, so that they're not as before, where they're, contending, in my mind. But I have a question as to when the seal happens, because I know, you know, the mark of the beast is implemented somewhere in the middle of the tribulation, and I'm wondering if the seal happens more towards the end of the second half somewhere, because of the destruction that God is going to be preserving his people from, the reason for the seal there. But those are just my thoughts.
Okay. Well, now, y'all remember what David talked about on the mark, don't you? At the mid-tribulation. He said the people that take the mark already have the seal of the beast on their forehead. They already have the seal. They have the mind of the beast right then. And he said the people who don't take it have the mind of Christ. So, I mean, I'm just throwing it out there. What's the character? He explains about the character too. And I believe that's the one where he talks about the typewriter, doesn't he? The key on the typewriter. So I think we're all right, just to be diplomatic about it. All right. What is the mark? We'll just go through. What is the mark? That's what you look like, right? Y'all, a lot of help here. Oh, my. Token and mark is the same Hebrew word. Okay.
As in the mark that was put on Cain, that's the same word as the token in the verse that Pat just posted. Okay. The blood shall be to you a token, as in a mark.
That's what you look like, right? In the spiritual sense. Is that right?
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, the blood itself would be a seal, but it forms a mark, which in this case is protective. Well, in Cain's case, it was protective as well, but it wasn't a really nice mark to have.
No. No. Well, that's correct. The mark, if the mark of the beast, you're not going to be exhibiting any kind of Christ-like attitude, in you. But in the mark of Christ, if you've got the mark of the seal of Christ, you're going to be walking like Jesus. You're going to be looking like Jesus. You're going to be talking like Jesus. Right? And I think Claire had it on the name. It's the nature, character, and authority of Jesus in each one of us. It's basically the whole thing of Christ in you, or the whole beast in you. This is a good deal. So I'm sure when we get off of here tonight, a lot of us are going to go make sure. Is that right? Okay. Anybody else on the mark, the seal, and the name? I'm going to make sure that what we've been talking about tonight is, and if there is a lot of difference, and does it make any difference? I'll tell you what I want to know. What are those seven thunders that he was talking about? He told him not to talk about. Told him to seal them up until the end. Pat already knows. Praise God, we got an answer.
If we were throwing out trivia questions, I have one that just hit me the other day.
I just gave you one. Now don't overstep mine. Now come on.
Oh, come on.
Go ahead, Pat. I'm just kidding.
Two and a half tribes that did not go into the promised land, or they decided to keep the land. This is when Joshua led the 12 tribes into the promised land. Two and a half tribes, I think, if I'm not mistaken, wanted to stay on the first side of the Jordan, the prior side of the Jordan or whatever. But God told them, no, yes, you can do that if you want, but go over. Once you need to cross over and help your brethren get the rest of the land, so to speak, and then you can go back and possess that land. So if there was two and a half tribes that were on that side, what was there nine and a half, nine, 11, 12, was there nine and a half on the other side? Where was the half? How did the half of each tribe on each side of the Jordan, I guess it was Jordan, how did that package work out? Or did they become separate tribes? Why did that pop into my mind? I don't know, but I thought if we're spouting trivia tonight, that's one that kind of had me hanging. So anyway, sorry, I didn't mean to derail that whole thing.
Don't do that. What are you talking about? Yes, you did. Well, I didn't know it was 9.5, so I'm out of this one.
Now, they always talk about the...
Oh, Ephraim and Ephraim and Manasseh, Greg says, were the two half-tribes.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Anybody else got something they'd like to bring up? Who are the two witnesses? We can go ahead and start it. Was it Elijah and Moses? Yeah. Okay. Or was it Moses and I have my mind drawing a blank here. Who was the guy that went up to heaven?
Elijah.
Enoch and Elijah. Enoch.
Thank you, Greg. Yeah, was it Enoch and Elijah? Or was it somebody else?
The two witnesses?
Yeah, Malcolm.
Well, some people think the two witnesses are Moses and Elijah who come back.
Who does Malcolm X think it is? What, Malcolm?
I guess I'm playing with my mute button.
I guess you are. I said, well, he's not on the answer. He's going to mute himself.
Actually, I didn't catch the context. But for people... I thought the two witnesses were Moses and Elijah that came back, but I think we understand that to be corporate groups.
To be what?
The two witnesses?
Who are the two witnesses? Well, Billy Graham.
There you go. Ahead, and the Pope, yeah.
And the Pope. No, I...
I'm sorry.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so no,
we're getting off here now.
I was going to say that the two witnesses, I understand to be corporate, you know, but I used to think they were Moses and Elijah. But anyway.
Okay.
Well, simply because. Yeah, right. Moses and Elijah were the ones that showed up at the Mount Transfiguration.
Okay, let's go to somebody else. How many of you have read Hidden Manna? Let me just start out with that. Okay. All right, Isaac, go ahead, brother.
I heard David on one of the audios say, correct me if I'm wrong, if I misheard, that the commandments, the two commandments, they represented the two witnesses, you know, spiritual sense. And then I believe he's talking about that the people go two by two, represent the two witnesses and how they're, the covenant will be engraved in their heart, or the commandments will be engraved in their heart. Am I missing that, or am I following David?
That's part of it. Yeah, that's part of it.
Okay, that's about
who was Jesus's two witnesses. Let's start out with that. Let's start out with something that's simple. Who was Jesus's two witnesses? The disciples, weren't it? They sent them out two by two. He sent out all 12 of them two by two. Then he sent the 70 out two by two. They were all apostles. All of them were apostles. They were witnesses to Jesus Christ's ministry, right? They were witnesses also to his death, burial, and two of them were witnesses to his resurrection. He sent them out two by two. And with that, as a parallel, as a type and a shadow of what's going to happen in the end time, and if you read, what is it, chapter 2, Keys to the Hidden Manna, where he talks about corporate bodies rather than single bodies, you know, where the disciples were sent out two by two. They were the witnesses for Jesus. Now it's going to be witnesses for the man child in this coming age. And they're going to be sent out two by two. They're going to witness the first 3.5 years of the man child's ministry. This is what David's teaching on this. And they were witnesses. They're going to be sent out. And if there were 70, David even went so far as to do some math on it and figured out how many witnesses there would be across the world. I forget the number. It's some big number. I think it was 1 million something. But anyway, and if you'll read that chapter, I believe it's chapter 9, that he talks about the two witnesses in Hidden Manna. If you've seen Left Behind, those series, they had two men in a cage in Jerusalem that were speaking judgments and all this kind of stuff. Because they had the letter of the law. They didn't have the spiritual aspect of the writings. And the Lord just gave David a bunch of knowledge on that. And he talks about Jerusalem as the holy city. But David explains what the holy city is. Somebody tell me what the holy city is. I couldn't hear you, Greg. Go ahead, Julie.
The holy city is New Jerusalem being born from above, coming down. It's the bride. Amen. It's Jesus. It's Jesus and the bride.
Zion coming down. That's right. Jerusalem coming down. That's right. Go ahead, Malcolm. I'm sorry, I didn't see your hand up.
Oh, no, that's fine. I didn't have the answer to your question there, but one of the dreams I submitted, I think David read it on the air, but years ago, but there's a situation where there were a whole bunch of army trucks all lined up in the dusk, hidden, and they were planning to go into a tunnel, but we're all just kind of sitting there waiting. And then all of a sudden David said, let's go. He was in this Jeep, and I jumped in. I jumped in the Jeep and we all took off for this tunnel. But he said that by my jumping in the Jeep, I represented the two witnesses, whatever that, in that particular dream. So it's kind of an interesting interpretation, I thought.
Okay. All right. Anybody else? There's a lot in this. I'm going to recommend everybody read chapter 9 in Hidden Manna if you want to over the weekend, and we'll go over it Tuesday night. There's a lot in there, and there's a lot we need to cover on that in order to understand, spiritually speaking, who the two witnesses are and why it's that away. So we can do that. All right. Anybody got any prayer requests or anything before we leave? Claire, it's good to have you on with us tonight. I know you're a busy girl. And Justin and Lacey, good to see y'all. Glory to God. Yeah. Good. Glad you could join us tonight. All right. I don't want to miss anybody. It's It's good to have you here too, Joe. All right. And you too, Carol. Glad to have you with us again. All right. Lord, we just thank you for another great night tonight. I know it's a little bit of hesitation here and there, but that's okay. We're coming together. And we thank you, Lord, that all of these things that we're talking about, that you're going to make it clear in our mind about these end time things that are going to happen. And I praise you, Father, for doing that. Thank you, Lord, for the words that you've given David on this end time prophetic time. And Lord, we thank you that it's a lot of it's going to come out during these times that we're in this book. And we praise you, Father, for placing it in our hearts to read and study and to understand these end time events, because we're going to be able to know when those times come upon us what to do. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, be with us the rest of the week and the weekend. Thank you, Lord, for good weather for everybody. And Lord, we thank you that everybody's going to have a good night's sleep tonight too. Wake up all supernaturally supercharged. And we thank you for it. And Lord, we thank you that, we thank you that, I can't remember who prayed for cancer, but they're healed in Jesus' name. That was Marilyn's friend. Yeah. We thank you, Lord, that she is, her son is healed, delivered, and he's set free, and he's going to be singing the praises of God. And we thank you, Lord, that Tracy is healed also in Jesus' name. Tracy Doten. Thank you for it, Father, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we just thank you for everybody on here that came on tonight, that you would bless them in mighty ways, Lord, in the days ahead. Lord, prepare our hearts. Give us warnings, dreams, Lord, of the things that are fixing to happen that we need to prepare for, if at all. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you for your bold faith you placed in all of us too, Lord, to believe the promises that you've given us in your word. Thank you, Lord, for all you do. You're a loving, gracious God. And everything that that man said that you are, you're it and more. Praise God that I had on here before. In Jesus' name. Matter of fact, I'm going to run it one more time if y'all want to hear it. I'm going to play it because it's that important. Hang on just a second.
The Bible says my king is a seven-way king. He's a king of the Jews. That's a racial king. He's a king of Israel. That's a national king. He's a king of righteousness. He's a king of the ages. He's a king of heaven. He's a king of glory. He's the king of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. That's my king. Well, I wonder, do you know him? David said, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. No far-seeing telescope can bring into visibility the coastline of his surely supplies. No barrier can hinder him from pouring out his blessings. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He stands in the solitude of himself. He's August and he's unique. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He is the supreme problem in high criticism. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He is the cardinal necessity for spiritual religion. He's the miracle of the age. He is the superlative of everything good that you choose to call him. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient savior. I wonder if you know him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captives. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent and he beautifies the meek. I wonder if you know him. Well, this is my king. He is a key. He's the key to knowledge. He's the wellspring of wisdom. He's the doorway of deliverance. He's the pathway of peace. He's the roadway of righteousness. He's the highway of holiness. He's the gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, his office is manifold. His promise is sure. His life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy. And his burden is light. I wish I could describe him to you, but he's in this. He's indescribable. Yes, he is. Good God. He's indescribable. Yes, he's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. Well, you can't get him out of your mind. You can't get him off of your hand. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, the Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. The witnesses couldn't get their testimonies to agree. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him. Yeah! That's my king. That's my king. Yeah. And thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever and ever and ever. How long is that? And ever and ever. And when you get through with all of the forevers, then amen.
Amen.
Oh yeah.
That's a good way to start it, and that's a good way to end it also.
Amen.
Praise God. That's my king. Oh my God.